Okay.
First Corinthians
13, 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I have become sounds of brass or a clashing cymbal. Now, if I have the gift of prophecy, I would have known all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I had all the faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And I could give away all my belongings bit by bit to help the poor. And if I should give my body so that I could boast in it, but do not have love, I benefit nothing.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Nita.
I asked him to read that because I only have so much voice and I want to make sure I'm able to say everything to you that I want to say. I think that this is really a significant intro to this subject on love, because I've been in the ministry over 40 years, and in all honesty, having traveled into many countries throughout America, Canada, I think the only country anywhere around America that I haven't been in is Mexico. But in all this travel to talk to the church, in my earlier years of ministry, one of the things that I learned was that there was, I want to say, a lack in understanding the gifts. People tended to think that they had arrived if they were being used in the gifts of the Spirit. And although it's very wonderful to see God move in people's lives, I agree with that. I love seeing healings and miracles, and I've been used in the nine gifts of the Spirit for as long as I've been in the ministry. So I have to agree, it is really wonderful to see people really get in touch with the God that is at hand and seeing Him move in their lives in that way. It helps people to open their hearts and accept the fact that God really, 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 really cares about them. You know, right on the path, feet hitting the pavement, He cares about His people. But there is something that a lot of people have a little bit of difficulty understanding, and that is, God doesn't see it that way. I think when you learn about God, His ways, His thoughts, His heart, the more you learn about Him, it'll take us eternity to even begin to understand Him, I promise. But the more we understand Him, I think He expects us to know that He does care about all this stuff, that all of this is really important to Him. He wants to see us prophesy. He wants to see us functioning in the gift of understanding. He wants us seeing into the mysteries and the knowledge and to walk in the faith. In the Gospels, whenever you see have faith in God, in the Greek that actually would read, have the faith of God. Tremendous difference. But God would never call us to that if it weren't possible. And that is just an amazing thing. I can remember one time I was sitting and watching a Jesus movie with my oldest granddaughter. And she's had so many visitations from the Lord, it's just amazing to me. Even when she was a toddler, he was visiting her. But we're sitting and we're watching this Nest Entertainment. It's like a cartoon that is not cartoonish, it's the Word. And Jesus made a comment about, by, you know, in faith, all things are possible. And Tiffany looked at me and she said, Gamma, did you hear that? Is that true? If we believe in God, all things are possible? All things? And I said, that's right, sweetheart. And she said, wow, I didn't know that. Wow. That touched her so deeply. Every time we would see each other for the next few days, she would make comments about that. And many times over the years, I've asked God to quicken that back to her, how deeply that impacted her heart. But more importantly, have the faith of God. Can you imagine walking in that kind of faith? I can tell you, and I know Ricky would agree, I've seen her move in the gifts of the Spirit. I know that Ken and Debbie would agree, I've seen them move in the gifts of the Spirit. And when you are flowing in the gifts of miracles, whether it's with the human body or whether it's a weather miracle, this team has seen a few weather miracles. It takes the faith of God to make that happen. So even though we don't realize we're flowing in the gift or in the faith of God, we are. It doesn't feel a whole lot different than when we're flowing in the faith that He's given us to see something done. But to flow in the faith of God to see the miraculous is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And yet everyone who flows in the miraculous at some point in their life, as they flow in that gift, the faith of God is activated at least long enough to see that miracle take place. So Paul is dealing with this. He even said if we have the ability to remove mountains, faith to remove mountains, oh my goodness. Well, in human faith, human endeavor, maybe in human endeavor we could remove mountains with the great big old machines. But if we're flowing in human faith, we're not going to be moving too many mountains. We need the faith of God. So I said all that to say, please let this enter into your heart, because it could be the most important thing I say tonight. Though we would flow in all nine gifts of the Spirit. If we have not agape, and that's how it's pronounced in the Greek. I know in America we pronounce it agape. But in the Greek, the right pronunciation is agape. So, agape in the heart of God is more important than us flowing in the nine gifts of the Spirit. The greatest miracle, and I'm telling you, tears are welling in my eyes right now because of the incredible truth of what I'm going to say to you. For a human being to ever walk in the faith of God, in my opinion, and I believe that the Bible upholds that, the greatest miracle of all is for the human heart to walk in the purity of divine love. The soul is not capable of doing that. It's too temporal. It's something that is upheld by earthly love. Phileo, we call it here in the church. Our soul is upheld in earthly love if that has not been devastated by crises or whatever. But to walk in divine love, can I get you to read 4 through 8, Ken?
Yes. Hang on just a second. Has patience. Love is kind. Not jealous, love does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor, it does not seek things for itself, it does not become angry, it does not charge evil to another, it does not rejoice over unrighteousness, but rejoices together in truth. It endures all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and it is steadfast in all things. And whether prophecies will be abolished or tongues will cease, or knowledge will be abolished, love never perishes.
Okay, I want to say that where it says, where it talks to us about that love does not rejoice in evil or speak evil about another, that's not talking about if I look at an individual, say that is on the forefront of American media, that we know beyond any doubt, and they're pretty braggadocious about it, that that person moves in witchcraft, or they think it's great that they have had this person murdered or that person murdered. That's not what it's talking about. We're just simply speaking truth. But even that, we need to stand before the Lord in what we're saying. But what this is saying is, it's warning us not to accuse our neighbor of doing evil, not to represent our neighbor as evil, because love doesn't do that. You're not going to speak you're not going to speak about another individual regarding things that you do not know as a fact and that would not bring protection maybe to the person with whom you are discussing this issue. So let me just clarify that, and then let's move over to 1 John 4:20. I want to say that throughout the day, as I prayed about what to share with you tonight, the Lord this afternoon finally spoke to me, giving me this scripture. And it says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? This issue of comparing a man's heart of love for his brother or his sister with their love for Christ is very real. If you cannot, and this word here, speaking of love, again is agape. And that word agape, probably most of you know, it's a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that would literally give their lives for another individual. The Lord once spoke this to me in a very profound manner, saying to me that we must search the depths of a man, or let's use the word person, a person's soul, to find the most wicked thing about them, and at that place love them enough to be willing to give your life for them. And at that place love will never fail. When he spoke that to me, I know this is going to sound silly to some of you, but I'm just so real to the Lord, and he surprises me a lot. But when he spoke that, I said, Lord, that's what you did. You did that. You searched the depths, like he didn't know this, right? You searched the depths of my soul to find the most wicked thing about me. And at that place, you determined you would love me enough to give your life for me. And you did. I think that's amazing. And I think you would probably, if you just really thought it out for a minute, you would think it's an amazing thing. He didn't pick us up or choose us because we were so wonderful. If we had such a wonderful heart, I guess we don't need him. We don't need his blood, we don't need his spirit, we don't need his intervention, because we're just perfect all by ourselves, the way we are. But the truth is, we don't have that kind of love. And because we don't, we desperately need the Lord, because everyone will be judged by their love. Everyone before the throne will be judged by your love. And if you're not walking in agape love as a Christian, you're judged by that. So it probably is one of the more serious prayers that we can pray, asking God to fill us with his divine love, that we may walk in that in this life. It's really wonderful to experience, but it's really wonderful to give. when we can look at our neighbor, our sister, our brother, mother, father, child, husband, wife, etc., and determine we're going to love them with the love of Christ, knowing what's in them. We're going to love them with the love of Christ. Our honor and our reward before the throne is inexplicable. It is an amazing thing for a human being to walk in self-sacrificing love. And this is what God is calling his church to. So, because we don't have more than just a few minutes, I'm going to go back over here to 1 Corinthians. Please, when we get off the phone tonight, sit down and just meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Pick out all of the descriptive words about what love is and meditate on each one and think honestly about how you align your life with this passage. Now, there are those that would read it and say, yep, that's me. Yeah, that's me. I recognize that in myself. I know I am that. I do that. I'm sure everybody else don't do that. Be honest with yourself, because that's the only way God can heal us, is if we repent, ask him to change us in the areas we need change. He just loves that. He loves repentance. He loves an honest opinion of oneself. Then and only then can he change us to become more like him. In these last days, in the days that the church in which we are taking part here on earth, there is going to be such a great move of God. I spoke about it at a conference once, and I called it the Love Revival. Because this revival that is going to be released by the Spirit of the Lord is going to be the revelation, the manifestation is what I want to say, of divine love flowing through the church to those in need. When we begin to see this take place, there are times we are going to be shocked by the love that people can walk in. Paul walked there. That gift was given to him, and he let it stabilize his life. John the Beloved walked there. Peter walked there. There are many people in the first century church that walked in this divine love because they had the pattern right before them, 24/7 for 3.5 years. Now, Paul didn't have that in Christ, but Christ visited him. He was visited a lot here and taken to heaven so that he was able to see. One of the reasons why divine love is so important is that divine love is light, L-I-G-H-T. When you are walking in divine love, you are walking, your inner man is basking in heavenly light. You have become a person of light. You don't necessarily change on the outside, but on the inside, if you could see what you looked like, that is what you would look like. So I want to encourage you, if you want union, pray for union, but also pray for love, because that is the chief factor that transpires within you in union. Pray for divine love, because you will walk in the light even as he is in the light when you walk in love, divine love. I want to encourage you to believe for the greatest of all things, which Paul says is divine love, in this life. It will make your life a life of wonder.